as I sat there, I watched the passion and felt the passion in the choir and in the vocalists there. And I thought, you know, sometimes you think heaven, you know, that there will be reverence there, and I believe that. But the way that song went, I really thought, now that to me seems like what the angels are doing. I don't think they're up there going, holy, holy, holy. I don't think that. I think they're shouting with passion and joy. Joy. Every time they say that word holy, it means something, because that's the Heavenly Father to him. He is holy. And as that song went on, I thought, you know, I think that's really going to be when we finally enter into God's presence. We are going to, I know there will be that time where we fall at Christ's knees and we thank him, but then there's going to be that time where we just begin to shout, holy, 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 because we're going to look in the face of God and we're going to realize the sacrifice he made with his son seated at the right-hand side, and we're going to know that that is a holy, loving, compassionate, caring father. And I really think it's going to be like we just heard there, it is going to be a time of wonderful, jubilant praise before our Father. Pastor's been going through this time right now where his theme is focus, and trying to get us all to come into a time of focus. And that's what I'm going to speak about tonight, is a focus and the things that we need to do to focus. The title of this sermon is Staying Focused on God's Purpose for Our Lives. The text I'm going to read tonight, it's a popular one that some of you guys and gals I'm sure could quote from it. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." With that, we know that there is a purpose for our lives. And if there's a purpose for our lives, the important thing for us is to discover that purpose. And there's fundamental purposes that we know, that is to bring praise, honor, glory to God. There's always also, when you become a Christian, the next thing that you need is you need to go out in the Great Commission. It's you need to share that light, and you need to teach others and bring others in. We know that is a focus, but there's other things in our lives that we need to learn to focus on. I have some scriptures here tonight. If you turn with me, if you don't, Josh will have it up there. And that will be, first scripture I have is Proverbs 4:25. Proverbs 4:25. Get to it here. Proverbs 4:25. "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." This scripture in itself talks of staying focused. You can almost think about when it talks about the path there. You can almost picture yourself in a car for us. And obviously it wasn't cars in, but going down a road and understanding the importance of staying focused, to stay on the firm foundation of that road, not to swerve to the left or right where harm and get in harm's way, where you may get onto a soft shoulder, an unfirm foundation, and cause problems for your vehicle. And the author here obviously didn't have a car in mind, but he was talking about walking down a path and understanding that there's dangers and there's trouble when you get lose sight and lose focus on the path that you're on, and you can find yourself in dangerous ground. Next scripture, Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. I'm using the NIV, by the way, in case those of you want to know. Reading from NIV, it says this, Colossians 3:1. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. When I read this, I started to realize that the counterpart to focus would be distraction. And I can safely say in here, every one of us, every day, we deal with distractions in our lives. And they come in many different forms. And tonight, that's what I want to kind of flesh out here tonight, is to look at the distractions that come in our lives and what the Bible says about focusing on the things that will bring us back into God's perfect plan and purpose for our lives, because we know that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. When we lose our focus, when we become distracted. Many years ago, Sonny's going to know this. Some of you out here are going to know this song. We sang an old hymn here, and I don't know, but it would say, "Cast your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face." Sonny, help me out here. Upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That song right there speaks of what we are to do. Look full in his wonderful face. It is so difficult at times for us to do that, to look full in his face and to not be distracted by the things of this world, because there's so many things that come upon us in a day, every day, that try to pull us away from what God would have us to do and for the character that he would like us to become. And there's so many different avenues of distraction in our lives. And I think that summed it up really good right there. That song did beautifully. Proverbs 4:25-27. Says this. Get to it here. You guys notice how thick this Bible is. There's a reason for that. The words are huge in it. That's that giant print Bible, but it really makes it nice. When you're trying to read, it does for me anyhow. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level the paths for your feet and take only the ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. This is what it's about right here. Trying to find ways to keep our footing firm, the firm foundation, and avoid the distractions. And if you go back to Colossians here, we can see right here it puts it in writing for us, the distractions. Paul writing to the Colossians. And you look back at the verse we read here. So it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Right here, Paul lays out some of the things that will distract us in our daily lives. If you look at each one of these, I'm sure each one of us can say at some time during the day, some of these will become distractions for us. The earthly nature, immorality, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, desire, greed, idolatry. And when you look at these things, you understand that out in the world casts so many distractions before us. And a lot of times it's easy for us to say, Satan is really battling me. Satan is really causing me to stumble today. Satan is really attacking me. And I will tell you what, many times it is not Satan himself. It is not a spiritual attack you're under, but it's a fleshly attack that you're under. These are the things that will take the focus away from God. And a lot of times, Satan gets credit for things he doesn't even do because we're weak in our flesh. And we know that from Scripture. And there's times that we allow our flesh to lead us astray. And it's times like that that the distractions come in. God wants us to put our focus on him, but it is so hard. I believe it was Paul that said, oh, wretched man that I am, the things that I should do, I don't do, and the things that I should not do, I do. Paul himself, who wrote basically two-thirds of the New Testament, and a man, a very, very learned man, and yet Paul understood that the Adamic nature that is within each one of us will bring in distractions in our daily lives. There's no getting around that. A lot of times, you know, when we say Satan attacks, years ago my dad would say something. People would say, Pastor Gale, I really feel Satan's attacking me. And then he would look at him and he'd say, wow, you're a pretty prideful person then. He'd say, you realize that Satan is one. He is not omnipresent, he is not omniscient, and he is not omnipotent. He'd tell them, so you realize that you're saying that Satan himself have picked you out to attack you. He'd say, and that's really kind of arrogant, he'd say, because you'd have to really be someone for Satan to come after you individually. Now, there is the spiritual realm and the demonic realm, and we know there's many of them out there, but Satan himself really has probably, I would say, in our lifetime, Satan himself has probably not encountered him, is because we know when we read the Scripture's accounts of Satan's attack on people, he is a powerful being. We know that we have a deliverer, and we know that we have overcome him through the blood of the Lamb. But I will tell you, he's still a powerful being, and he does have way. But when you see the distractions that come into our lives today, the majority of those are going to be of the fleshly nature, because the flesh is going to be weak. And that's the thing we need to learn, is to focus on the things of the Lord and understand that the flesh is going to get in the way of our focus on the Lord. Probably shouldn't talk and drink at the same time, right? For those you guys that are out there, photographers, it's a 35 millimeter camera. It's a digital SLR. This thing is pretty nice, and in the fact that it does two things when it comes to focus. It allows me to do autofocus. Do it there for Pastor Harris. And oh, there's probably no memory card in here, or it just doesn't like you maybe. So there's an autofocus function on here, which means I get to point out in a general direction. This will dictate then what it thinks that I want to focus on. And it will take something out there and it will focus on that and take that and make clarity on that. And it will make everything else distracted. It will make it hazy. It will not be as clear as the focal point. Then the other function on this is the manual focus. The manual focus, when I set it on manual focus, when I come over to Pastor Harris, I have to look in here, I have to pull him in, then I have to grab the focus ring and focus on his smiling face there. The thing about this is it's a lot like our lives when we're talking about being in focus. A lot of times we want our life to be on autofocus. We want to go through life on autofocus and just allow things to be out there and let something come into focus and just be a target zone and not a specific, be general. And what happens is, just like this camera, if something moves out there, if I'm focusing on something, going to take that picture and someone moves in the frame, it will grab that particular person and focus on them because it comes into the frame and it thinks that that's what I want to focus on. If it's in manual focus, I get to constantly move and put that in focus. I get to constantly follow that one I want to stay on, keep it in focus. That's in our lives when we're trying to keep our focus on God. That's what we need to. We need to think more of manual focus in our lives. That we don't just want to be on autofocus, because distractions come along, and the things that you might think you want to focus on, when those things start to shift and move on you, you'll start to see you're focusing on the wrong thing. Something moved, and the rest of the things that should be clear and you should have clarity with, they're no longer. They're blurred out. There's no clarity on them. But yet, if you stay on the manual focus, meaning you're doing it yourselves, you're doing it on purpose with a purpose. You intentionally are doing this. You're pulling that lens. You're looking in that lens. You're focusing in on something. You're following that particular thing that you want to stay focused on with that lens. And you are constantly pulling it back into focus when it starts to get out of focus from you. That's what our lives should be like with God. We should constantly be looking around us and realizing, what area of my life am I having trouble with focusing on? Am I on autofocus and I'm just thinking, you know what? I go to church, I have a pretty good devotion time, and I pray. That should be good enough. Do I need to do anything else? Yes, you do. You surely do. You need to really start to evaluate every single day whether there's things in the flesh that are pulling you and distracting you away, and then begin to bring your focus back in on the things that God wants in our lives, the things that are wholesome, the things that are good, as Paul said, the things that we need to look to. There's several areas that we find distractions. One is this: distractions from our circumstances. Rick Warren says this: focus on your purpose, not your problems. I love that. That's Rick Warren has some wonderful books out there. Purpose-Filled Life, I believe, is what that quote is out of there. But I love that quote, because what happens so many times is our circumstances in our life, we allow them to become the focus, and we forget that there are going to be times in our life when things aren't going to be exactly the way that we think there should be. We're going to go through trials, are we not? The Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. You're going to have trials and tribulations in this life. But we know one thing. We know that He is faithful. We know that He is faithful and He is true. And if we will learn to keep our focus on Him, the circumstances around us will still be there. But it's when you and I will start to look at Jesus, and we go to God, and we call on Him, out to Him, and we say, Father, I don't know why I'm in the position I'm in here. I don't know what's going on, but You do. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to stay focused on You. I'm not going to let the distractions of my circumstances deter me from my relationship with You. I'm going to stay steadfast in You. I'm going to walk the straight and narrow road, Father. And that's what God wants us to do in those circumstances, because everyone here tonight has a story, has a circumstance. Even just tonight, I could pick out any one of you at random, and you could share a circumstance in your life right now that could be a distraction. Every one of us could do that. And yet we know that there's a loving Father in heaven who is interested in every one of our needs and cares for every one of our needs, and is going to walk us through those trials and those temptations and those tribulations that come into our life. Another area, distractions from ourselves. One of these is our past. There's so many people, and this happens a lot with new Christians. They'll give their heart to the Lord, and they'll have that moment where they feel that freedom that you and I know. The bondage is broken. They feel that. They feel that. They know it. And all of a sudden, what happens? In their mind, all of a sudden, their past comes back. They begin to focus on that, and they lose focus on the thing that the most important thing to them, that is Jesus Christ died on the cross. And what's it say? It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I cast your iniquities from thee. As far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered us again. And yet we lose sight of the fact that when we accept Christ, that past is gone, and yet we will use it as an anchor. It will encumber us and impede our chance to grow in Christ, because it will take away our focus from Him, bring a distraction in life, because it's something you've done, something that you've laid at the foot of the cross. And again, I'm not even going to say that necessarily Satan comes, though I know that he does come and oppress us, and he is a master at that, has been from the beginning of time. But yet a lot of times it's us It's us. It's us just not letting go of that and leaving it at the foot of the cross. That distraction begins to break our focus on what God would have us to do. And we forget that God has a perfect plan and purpose for our life because we let the past become an anchor holding us back from moving forward into what God would have us to be. And that's not at all what God wants us to do. Distractions from doubts and insecurities. This is one that I would say most of us experience throughout our whole life, because it's one of the great ways that we can allow ourselves to become so distracted and feel like we are not worthy, and we lose focus on the wonderful awesomeness of God himself and the cross itself because we have this doubt and insecurity. I'm privileged to be a part of the praise and worship team. Privileged to be up there every time. It is one of the things that I look forward to, even Thursday night rehearsals. I really do. I look forward to being here Thursday night with everybody and getting into that rehearsal. And I can tell you this, of all the people who sit up there, I am the least talented and gifted person up there. And I mean that. These men and women that come up there are talented men and women, gifted men and women. I am the least of them. And you know what? There was a time when I got up there and Brent invited me to be part of the team, said, come in. And he said, you know, Kenny, you're learning to play mandolin and guitar. How would you like to get off drums and start playing mandolin, guitar, percussion, and doing other things? I told Brent, boy, I'm really not all that good at it. And he said, you know what? If you'll bring your gift, just bring it to us. He goes, I'd love you to just try it. So I come in there, and I can tell you the first thing was that doubt, because I'm trying to learn new chords. I'm trying to follow along. I'm trying to just learn all this stuff. And in my mind, there was this doubt that I can't do this. I shouldn't even be up here playing these instruments with the men and women that are here. Then my insecurities begin to well up in me. And then you know what? What finally happened? I had a lot of encouragement, but I can tell you this, that I realized one thing. My doubt, this is going to sound odd, my doubt was a form of pride. That's going to sound really weird, isn't it? My doubt and insecurity is a form of pride. You know why? Because I thought I had to do it, that it was up to me to do that. My focus was on me. My focus wasn't on him. My focus was on me. What can I do, or what can't I do? What are my shortcomings up there? And you know what? God brought it to my attention that when you're up there, the first thing you better understand when you're up there is that it is about him. It is totally about him. Praise and worship. And I'm not saying that we are, because I know that we are trying to be a conduit for the congregation to enter into, but I will tell you right now, if my life up there, if my gift up there and my talent is not about praise and worship while I am doing it, that is pride. That is a performer. I'm going to perform, and God doesn't need performers. Let me tell you right now, he doesn't need to have performers. He needs to have people who understand how to focus on him. That is what it's all about. Get away from the distractions. And that's the one thing I found about being up there, is that if my heart is right, there's nothing, and I mean this, there is nothing that could distract me when my heart is right. Something can happen out here during praise and worship, and I will not even miss a beat when my heart is set on him. And when I'm caught up in praise and worship to him with what I do, no matter what it is, no matter how many doubts or insecurities I got, when I give it to him and say, God, this is for you, it is pleasing to God. I could hit the most sour notes on there, and if my heart is right, it is sweet as incense falling on the ear of the Heavenly Father to him. Because what does he look at? Does he look at my hands and the bad note I'm strumming? Absolutely not. He looks at my heart right here. He sees this heart and says, that's what I desire of you is I desire your heart. I don't desire your gift and talent. I want your heart. It's the attitude with which you come before the Lord. When you focus on him, the doubts and the insecurities will no longer matter. That will get you through so many times where you will struggle in life, because every one of us know that there's something in your life to where you've said, I'm just not good enough, or I can't do this because I don't have what it takes. And yet, if you would surrender that to God and say, Lord, what I have is meager, but it's yours, that is pleasing to the Lord, because you have put your focus on him. You've taken it off anything else, and you're beginning to focus on him. The distraction of your doubts and insecurities no longer matters, because your focus is on him, and he will take that. And it is a beautiful thing when he sees the heart of a servant like that, who says, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. My eyes are upon you. I'm going to focus on you, because you are the one that will be glorified in the things that I do. And that is all he asks, that we glorify him in the things that we do. It doesn't have to be anything up here. I will tell you this. In this church, there's people behind the scenes here. And we see Pastor Harris. We see the musician. Well, they might want me to disappear sometime. Musicians up here. But in this church body, there are so many unsung heroes, if you want to call them, that make this place operate. We have two of them right now back there, two faithful servants that are up there. They're there every service. And you know, it's all about for them. It's about the ministry of the gospel to them. If they come in here with a prideful heart, and if Sonny and Josh up there say, wow, we got all this new equipment, look at us. Wow, we are kings of the world up here. I will tell you right now, the minute their focus becomes on them and it becomes prideful and arrogant, that is displeasing to God. But they come in here week in, week out, day in, day out, with a servant's heart to try and bring something. And there's people that, this building does not clean itself. There are people here who their focus is on taking care of this church, literally, physically taking care of this church. They have a heart. They don't allow the distractions of this world to break that focus from. They come in here every week. And I'll tell you what, when that time comes when we stand before the Lord, you know, you think of the greats, you think of Billy Graham, you think of Wesley, you think of all the names, the pioneers of the Christian faith. You go back to the apostles, and you think of these, and you go, boy, what if I happen to get in a line, and they're standing there with me when I gotta, you know, the Lord's gonna look at me, and you know, he's just let in, Billy Graham has just come through before you, and you walk up there, and do you think God's gonna look down at you and just say, well, wow, whew, I just let Billy in, whew, you're coming in, you know, but boy, oh boy, wow. Billy back there, whoo, wow, Billy, I'm still going to let you in, Kenny. No, he's still going to look at me. He's going to look at that heart, and he's going to look at what we have done, no matter how meager we think it is, no matter how insignificant we think it is. God is going to look at you, and you're going to hear the same words that Billy Graham heard. You're going to hear, enter in, my good and faithful servant. You are going to hear those words. God is not a respecter of persons. He looks at the heart. If we keep our focus on him and we don't allow this world to become a distraction, if we don't allow our doubts to become a distraction, if we don't allow the flesh to become a distraction, we can do wonderful things, because we won't be impeded by the things that come into our life to bring distraction for us. God's plans are perfect. God's purpose for our lives is perfect. And God's ways are perfect. Everything he does is perfect. Though we may not see that where we're going, because a lot of times we lose our focus. But I'm telling you right now, where you're at right now, where you are at right now, God is with you. He didn't abandon you. He didn't put you on an island and say, figure this out. He did not do that for you. He's walking with you right now. All he's asking is that we keep our focus on him, allow him to reveal our paths to us through his Holy Spirit, and he will do that. Every day, the Holy Spirit will work on us. Pastor has challenged us to two people this year, one Christian, one non-Christian, to begin to disciple them. And I talked to Pastor, and mine came to me. My first one, last week. We have a new gentleman at work, and he's an atheist. He waited till everybody had left the shop office last week, and Pam, who also attends church here, and Rita and Pam, that's Rita's daughter, we work together. We were in the maintenance office together, and he stayed after everybody left. He said, "Hey, you guys mind if I chat with you?" We said, "No, what's up, John?" He said, "You guys attend the same church, right?" We said, yeah, sure do. He said, "Just so you know, I'm an atheist." And he says, "I have read your Bible cover to cover." He said, "Kenny, I'm not making this up. Literally, I've read your Bible cover to cover." He said, "I've read the Quran." He said, "I haven't read it cover to cover. I've looked at the Quran. And I've looked at some of the other philosophers. But," he said, "I've absolutely read your Bible cover to cover and studied it." And he says, "Here's what I've come up with." And I was telling pastors, I could not use the language in this church, nor would I. It, the most vile language you ever heard somebody lacing in God and Jesus with came out of his mouth. He looked at me, and I will paraphrase, I will euphemize this to the highest extent right now. He said, "The God you serve, Kenny," he said, "he is an egotistical, narcissistic, vindictive man sitting up there deciding whom I will bless, whom will enter, whom won't." He goes, you want to tell me," he says, and through this whole thing, the expletives were laced in. He wove a tapestry of expletives that I've never, for years, heard someone do. He was on this rant, and his face, I mean, you should have saw this man. Pam and I just sat there, and this is when I knew what Pastor was saying. This is where I needed to not get distracted. Right then, the perfect time for me to get distracted, wasn't it? For pride to kick up and say, "How dare you attack something so sacred? You don't even know what you're talking about." And I should have probably welled up inside and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," you know, and all those things, you know. But inside me, I realized Pastor had challenged us, that my challenge came to me. It came to me last week, that one of them. And as he went through this, he calms down a little bit, and he just said so many things. And here's the beauty. Because I remained, my heart remained on God. My focus was on God. I didn't allow me to get angry at that man. I wanted to. The flesh in me wanted to get angry and lash out and say, "Conversation done. How dare you use that language and my Heavenly Father and my Savior in the same breath?" That's what I wanted to say. I didn't. I sat there and allowed him to vent. When he got done venting, this is the beauty. All of a sudden, I didn't have a Bible with me. Scriptures just welled up inside me for every comment he made. This was incredible. Every comment that he made, I was able to literally not use Galeology, Kenneology on him. I was able to use God's word to support my belief. And everything he said, I'd said, "Well, understand, John, that Scriptures tells us this." And I begin to walk him through what Scripture says. At first, he really bucked up his heels. You know, he really did. You know, I'd use it, and he'd say, "Scripture says that. What you're telling me?" He goes, "Men that wrote it down, supposedly under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit." He's going like that. So that's what he's doing. He goes, "I get it, Kenny. I get where you're going with this whole argument." And he goes, "It's not going to fly with me." And I said, "Listen, for me, it's all about my faith. And he goes, there you go, he says, that's the key word, your faith. That's what you guys always fall back on, is your faith. And I go, that's what we have. We have the faith of the cross. And I said, John, you mentioned all these other people. You mentioned Muhammad. You mentioned Confucius. And I said, you went down the line. And I said, let me tell you, do you know what separates them from us? He goes, what? I said, they're still in the tomb. To this day, you can go visit their bodies. Guess what? Jesus Christ is risen. The tomb was empty. And I said, he is a risen, living Savior. And I said, that's what separates me from them. So I said, when you compared me to them, you missed the main key ingredient, that my Savior is risen and living. They're still dead in their tomb. So I said, you have no argument comparing me to any of those, John, none. So I said, I told him, I said, we're not even going to talk about them, because I said, they don't matter to me, because they're still dead. To this day, they're dead. They will always be dead. Christ is risen. We went into the conversation, and I was able to, again, share some things with him. But through it all, what happened was, there was this, really, I mean, it sounds weird to say this, but because I didn't allow my humanity to distract me, and my anger to well up and distract me from the moment. There's a moment, you get those brief moments where we need to focus on the thing that God has put in front of us. For me, it was right then. God put this man there. That was no accident. That wasn't an attack of the enemy. That was a divine appointment. That was a divine appointment that happened in that room. So he got ready to leave, and I said to him, I said, I tell you what, John, I said, before you leave, I said, my dad said something many years ago, he'd say it from the pulpit. I said, he said, the Holy Spirit will beckon and draw your heart till your last breath is expelled. No matter who you are, no matter what you believe, no matter how much you doubt what I've been telling you, the Holy Spirit will draw at you, John. And he's kind of mocking me, you know, because he's standing up. I said, so how about this? How about if you, when you have that moment, and you're going to have it, John, I looked at him, I said, you're going to have this moment where all of a sudden you're going to have doubts about your beliefs, and you're going to start to wonder if I'm right. And I said, so here it is. When that happens, no matter where you are, if you give me your word, you pick up the phone and call me. I said, I don't care where you are. I said, I even told you, I said, I don't care what country you live in at the time. Call me up and let me share this message with you again. Because I said, the Holy Spirit is not going to give up on you ever until your last breath is expelled. So there's always hope for you, even though you don't believe me. And he said, you know what? I'm going to give you that. Can you know why? Because that's never going to happen. Never going to happen ever to me. So guess what? He goes, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, I promise you, Kenny, if that ever happens, I'm picking the phone and calling you, because that's not going to happen. So we ended up, we shook hands, and I said this to him. I said, John, I want to thank you for one thing. I said, you allowed me to talk back to you and to share with you. And I said, after you shared, I said, you respected me enough. So I told him, you had enough respect for me to let me talk with you. These are the things in our lives that Pastor has been talking about, that we're going to have these moments, and we need to have our focus on God. Because there's going to be so many distractions out there, and the closer the end times come, the enemy does not want to see one more soul saved. The enemy definitely does not want to see John start to slide over, and he doesn't want to see John to have doubt about his atheism. That's the one thing that Satan doesn't want. He doesn't want John to say, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Kenny's right. He does not want that. Things will ramp up. We need to know for sure that our focus is stayed on Jesus Christ, and we need to be focused in his word and focused in prayer. Because I'm going to tell you right now, none of us know when the divine appointment, and I firmly believe that was a divine appointment that happened right there. When those divine appointments come, we need to be ready. And a lot of times, we're not going to have a sword in your hand right here for me to open up. I didn't have that. But I will tell you this, through the Holy Spirit, I felt scriptures come up that, for real, I'm sitting there going, how amazing is that? That God quickened my spirit and my mind to recall those scriptures to share with that man. And we know one thing. Bible says, "For my word shall not return void, but shall accomplish that which I purpose in my heart." So when I didn't use any kinesiology on him, when I used the word of God on him, I had a promise, didn't I? The promise was that that word would not return void, that would accomplish that which God purposes. So there's a purpose and a plan for each of us. The distractions are out there, but if our focus stays on God and we start to do the things and we start to develop disciplines in our life to keep that focus on him, get ourselves off autofocus and begin to manually take hold of that camera, take hold of it, begin to focus on the things that we know we need to stay focused on and keep them clear. Close with this. This was from InStay. Those of you that had InStay, you had to learn this to Joshua 1:8. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." That's a promise right there. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. And when it says that, to be careful, what's that mean? You have to be focused. You have to be focused. If you're careful, if you're walking a tightrope, guys, let me tell you what. Are you nonchalant if you're 400, 500, 600 feet and you're on a tightrope with no net? No, you're focused. You're focused. You're very careful. That's what that's telling us. Be very careful. We can focus on God's word, meditate on it day and night, and then we will be prosperous and successful. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to have someone like John come into my life. Lord, this is a man who I don't know his past. I don't know his circumstances. I don't know the things that he has gone through in his life, Lord, that has caused him, Lord, to become shut door to you. But Father, right now, Lord, I know that each one of us here will have a John in our lives. Because, Lord, that's why we're here on this earth, Lord. We are here, Lord, to spread your gospel right now. So, Father, I pray right now that it, as each one of us, Lord, as we have that divine appointment, Lord, I pray that we will stay focused on you, Father, throughout the day. Lord, I pray that no matter what the distractions come our way, Lord, that we will remain focused on you so that we can, Lord, be a light in darkness, Lord, that we can share your gospel and your love with the world out there. Lord, that we can bring hope to the hopeless, Father, because there are people out there that have no hope, Father. And Lord, I pray right now that each one of us, Lord, will be so careful, as your word said, to meditate on your word day and night, Lord, that we will do that so that when those opportunities come, that, Lord, it will well up in us like a wellspring of life, Lord. Living water will flow from our lips, Lord, that we may speak truth, love, and hope and compassion to a world that truly needs that. So, Father, I just pray an anointing right now over each person here, Father. And, Lord, I pray for them a divine appointments come into their lives throughout this year as pastor has challenged us. Lord, may we be bold. Lord, may we be confident, Lord. But most of all, Father, may our focus be on you, Father. And may it be all about you. And I give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.